Hymn number 92 in the Lutheran Book of Worship, Were You There? Verses 1 and 4.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when God raised him from the tomb? Were you there when God raised him from the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when God raised him from the
tomb. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus Christ is risen today, hymn number 151.
Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia. Our triumphant holy day. Alleluia. Who did once upon the cross? To redeem our loss. Alleluia. Hymns of praise then let us sing. Alleluia. Unto Christ our heavenly King. To redeem and save. Alleluia. But the pains which he endured, alleluia, our salvation have procured. The sky is King. Alleluia. Where the angels ever sing. Alleluia. Sing we to our him all you heavenly host. Alleluia. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia.
Our service continues on page 78. In the front of the Lutheran Book of Worship, page 78. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation, blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for the God, for the Lamb who was slain has begun His reign. Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, the Lord be with you.
And also with you. Alleluia.
Let us pray. God of all mercy and grace, your only Son's death and glorious resurrection have delivered us from the power of death and redeemed all creation. Grant that we may no longer look for the living among the dead, and instead daily die to sin and rise to newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Alleluia.
Congregation, may be seated. A couple of announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, I want to thank all of our worship servants tonight who are making it possible for us, even though we can't gather in person for worship, at least we can gather virtually and celebrate the good news of Christ's resurrection from the dead. The children's message will not be a part of tonight's service. Instead, tomorrow I'll be posting on Facebook a separate message for the kids. And if you have kids or grandkids, I encourage you to go on the Emmanuel Facebook page and to listen in on a message that I have for the children. Also want to remind you that at 4:31 p.m. Central Standard Time, each day, people here that are members of Emmanuel or throughout the United States are gathering together for prayer based on Acts 4:31. The early church, they gathered for prayer. The place they were in was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to teach the name of Jesus with boldness. So please join us at 4:31 p.m. Central Time as we gather together in prayer. And then finally, one more announcement. It is our custom and tradition here at Emmanuel, every year on Easter Monday, that's April 13 this year, we gather for a public reading of the entire New Testament in this worship space. This year we can't gather in this worship space for the public reading of the entire New Testament, but in individual homes, we will in fact assemble. And in individual homes, we will read out loud Matthew through Revelation, and it takes about 17, 18 hours. We'll start at 5 a.m., and then we'll finish before midnight on Easter Monday. So tune in to the Emmanuel Facebook page, follow along with us, read some scripture on Easter Monday in celebration of our Lord's resurrection. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 118. It's on page 4 of the bulletin. We will read it responsively. Psalm 118. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord exalts.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live.
And recount the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Our second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our Alleluia.
Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Alleluia, the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing together our hymn, "Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won," hymn number 133 in the Lutheran Book of Worship. Number 133.
Jesus lives, the victory's won. Death no longer can appall me. Jesus lives, death's reign is done. From the grave will Christ recall me. Brighter scenes will then commence. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lifts to him the throne. There above all things is given. I shall go where he is gone, live and reign with him for heaven. God is faithful, doubting's hence. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives for me, he died. Hence will I to Jesus living. Pure in heart and act abide, praise to him and glory giving. All I need God will dispense, this shall be my confidence. Jesus lives and I am sure, neither life nor death shall sever me from him. I shall endure in his love through death forever. God will be my sure defense. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives and now is death, but the gate of life immortal. This shall calm my trembling breath when I pass its gloomy portal. Faith shall cry as fails each sense, Jesus is my confidence.
It's finished. Now what? It's a done deal. It's all over. Now what? Grandma loves spending time with her grandchildren. A 6-year-old granddaughter approached Grandma and said, Grandma, do you want to help me put my puzzle together? And Grandma said, okay. And then Grandma took a look and thought, wait a minute. The puzzle sitting on the table, all the pieces were already assembled. What exactly did her 6-year-old granddaughter mean when she said, Grandma, do you want to help me with my puzzle? If it's all finished, then what? Take it apart, put it in the box? Take it apart, reassemble it? Just sit there and admire it. Or maybe put a frame around it and put it up on the family picture wall? What did that little 6-year-old mean when she said to her grandma, Grandma, do you want to help me put my puzzle together? That, my friends, is the million-dollar question. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ears, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me,
and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. It's finished. Now what? A loved one dies. What's next? Funeral planning, a burial, a funeral service. That's what we expect. No surprise here. You may recall that the last words of Jesus on the cross were, "It is finished." And before he said that, the soldiers took not a reed, not a stick, but a green leafy branch of hyssop with a sponge on it and some sedative wine. And they held it up to Jesus. Why hyssop? So that we might remember that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Passover Lamb. Remember, when Jesus is crucified, it's the day of preparation for the Passover. And you may recall that in Exodus 12, the 10th plague, it was the homes of the Israelites that were covered, the doorposts and the lintels, with lamb's blood. Blood from a perfect, unblemished lamb that was spared from the angel of death. You may also recall that before Jesus spoke those final words, that he breathed his last as he spoke those words, and then the soldiers and others said, "Well, you know, it's the day of preparation. We better break the legs of those criminals so that we can make sure that they're out of sight before the Passover begins." And they broke the legs of the criminal on the right and the left, but when they came to Jesus, they found out that he was already dead, so they didn't break a bone of his legs. Why? Because according to Exodus 12, the Passover lamb, the perfect lamb, unblemished, needed to be roasted whole. Not a bone would be broken. Jesus is the Passover lamb. When it says it is finished, when he proclaims that with a loud voice and breathes his last, it literally means paid in full. It means it's a done deal, mission accomplished. So it's finished. Now what? Well, funeral preparations, burial preparations. And so we find out that Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he was afraid, he went and asked Pilate for the body of Jesus so that he could bury him. And then we find out that Nicodemus, who was the one who came to Jesus at night, John chapter 3, Nicodemus and Arimathea, Joseph, they bury Jesus in a tomb in a garden right near Golgotha, Calvary, the place of the skull, in a tomb that's never been used. And Nicodemus contributes 75 pounds of spices. That's enough for a king, for royalty, because Jesus is more than the king of the Jews. He's the savior of the world. They get Jesus buried, and Passover is about to begin. The Sabbath is about to begin, Friday night at 6 until Saturday night at 6. So it's finished. They roll the stone in front of the tomb, and now what? Well, the Passover celebration, of course. And then on the first day of the week, sometime after 6 p.m. on Saturday night, when Sunday begins, Mary Magdalene goes out to the tomb all by herself while it's still dark. Why? When someone you've loved has died, you want to go to a spot where you can remember. You want to go to a place where you can pay your respects, where you can grieve, where you can mourn. And she goes there and perhaps gets the biggest surprise of her life. The stone has been rolled away. Not so that Jesus can get out, but so that faith can get in. She immediately assumes the worst, grave robbers. So what does she do? She goes running, lickety-split, to Peter, the beloved disciple, and the others, and says, The stone's rolled away. The body's gone. Someone stole Jesus. To add insult to injury, you crucify him and then you steal his body. So Peter and the beloved disciple, they go racing out to the tomb. And when they get there, Peter goes in first. And he notices that all those garments of death, that linen shroud, the funeral pall, if you will, has been laid over to the side. And then there was this cloth napkin. It was a wrap that was used with the head and the chin, because when rigor mortis sets in, the jaw drops down. That's what happens. So they had this cloth to hold the mouth shut. But now that cloth has been carefully folded up and placed over to the side. Why? Why would a grave robber be so meticulous and careful with folding the head cloth? We're told that Peter and the beloved disciple do not yet remember the promise that he must be raised from the dead. They go back home. It's finished. Now what? Well, Mary Magdalene stays all by herself out there in the garden tomb. And then Mary Magdalene, she goes looking in the tomb and she sees where the head would have been, where the feet would have been, an angel, and she's weeping. She's crying. And the angels ask her, "Woman, why are you weeping? What are you looking for?" And she said, "They've taken away my Lord. That's why I'm crying." And then she turns to leave, and there's a man there. She assumes that he's the gardener because it's a garden tomb. And he says the same thing. "Woman, why are you weeping? What are you looking for?" She said, "If you've taken him away, tell me so that I can take him." That's all she has to hold on to, the corpse, the dead body of the one that she's loved, nothing more. And then the stranger speaks her name, Mary. You know, in Genesis, God is portrayed as the gardener, and he speaks creation into existence. This is a new creation, the resurrected one, Jesus, the Word of God. He speaks her name, and she becomes part of the new creation, and faith and believing is placed in her heart and her soul. And she clings to Jesus. Martin Luther's bride, Katharina, said, "I cling to Christ like a burr on a velvet dress." She clings to Jesus, and he says, "You can't keep holding on to me. I've got to ascend to the Father." It's finished. Now what? Well, go in peace, serve the Lord, thanks be to God. There's the sending. And so that's what happens. Jesus sends her. "You go and tell the disciples." And she does. What do you do when a little six-year-old says, "Grandma, will you help me with my puzzle?" That's a $1 million question. What do you do when it's finished? Well, there's still more to the story, isn't there? Because now Mary Magdalene is a part of that story, and we're a part of that story. And Jesus sends us, and when she gets to the disciples, what does she say? "I have seen the Lord. He's alive." There was a tradition in the first century. The Romans had this tradition, and before them the Greeks, that when they had athletic competitions, the winner, the one who got the victory, would get a laurel wreath around their head. In the first century, the Christians were known to do something similar. They would go on Easter Sunday morning to the cemeteries, and on all the graves of the saints, the believers in Jesus, the Christ followers, they would place a laurel wreath. And when the Christians were asked, "Why are you doing this?" the response was this: "Because in Jesus Christ, the firstborn of the dead, the victory is ours. victory over sin and death and the devil. It is finished. Paid in full. Mission accomplished. A done deal. We're saved by grace and by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ alone. This is the good news of Easter that we've received and that we pass on. In our epistle reading for tonight, St. Paul is writing to the Christians in Corinth. People call 1 Corinthians 15 the resurrection chapter. And St. Paul begins, interestingly enough, by making sure that people understand what is and what is not the gospel. He says, what I got, I gave. What I received, I passed on. He didn't revise it. He didn't reinvent it. He didn't kind of make it up as he went along. He just simply shared what had been given to him. He said, this is the gospel, that Jesus Christ was crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. And then he was buried, and on the third day he was raised from the dead. Now you think this is a fairy tale? Paul says there's multiple attestations, there's irrefutable evidence, there's eyewitness evidence, like Mary Magdalene. He says, Christ appeared to Peter and the disciples. Christ appeared to more than 500 people at the same time, most of whom are still alive. Don't believe me? Go ask them. And then he appeared to James and the apostles. And last of all, Paul says, he appeared also to me, the least of the apostles, unfit to be an apostle. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And God's grace to me is not in vain. So we preach, and you believe that Christ is risen, that he's risen indeed. St. Paul, a persecutor of the church, he stood there when Stephen was martyred with stones. He was holding the garments of others, and then Christ brought Paul to his knees on the Damascus Road, blinded him with the light of Christ, and said, I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer for my name. Paul, the proclaimer of the gospel. And so Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 15, but in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who fall asleep. And then he'll end chapter 15 with these words. The perishable must put on imperishability. The mortal must put on immortality. Then will come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished. Now what? St. Paul writes, therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. It's finished. Now what? A number of years ago, I read a story about a woman who was an activity director at a nursing home, and the unit that she was in charge of was for the Alzheimer's residents. And they decided on a Good Friday, she and her assistant, that they were going to show Jesus of Nazareth, the movie, the story of Jesus' life, on Good Friday. They didn't know how it would go, but they played it after they got all of the residents from the Alzheimer's unit in the room, you know, the gathering place. And you could have heard a pin drop. They were like on the edge of their seats throughout the whole movie. And then it got to that point where Mary Magdalene came out to the cemetery alone. And at that point, Mary Magdalene meets Jesus. He speaks her name. She goes and she tells the disciples, I've seen him. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. I've seen him. He's alive. And then the disciples look befuddled. And Mary Magdalene looks at her and she kind of steps back a little bit and says, you don't believe me? You don't believe me? And suddenly the voice of one of those Alzheimer residents, the woman's name was Esther. She shouts out, "We believe you, Mary! We believe you!" It's finished. Now what? I read this story about a famous preacher over in London. He was born in 1900, died in 1960. From 1939 on, he would sometimes in London, this Methodist pastor, he would be preaching to 3,000 people at the same time. His name was Pastor William Sangster. Now, in 1957, he was having a little trouble swallowing and speaking, irritation in the throat, so he went to see his doctor. And the doctor said, "I've got bad news. You have an atrophy of the muscle. It's only going to deteriorate and get worse. I can't do anything. We can't do anything for it." That was in 1957. On Easter Sunday, 1960, Pastor William Sangster could hardly swallow. He had lost his voice, and so he wrote an Easter letter to his daughter. And in that letter, he wrote these words: "How terrible it is to wake up on Easter morning and not to be able to shout out for the world to hear, 'Christ is risen! He is risen indeed!' But how even more terrible to have a voice to shout with and to choose not to speak it." It is finished. Now what? Well, we're battling COVID-19. It's taking its toll. It's bringing out the worst in some people. Some people are price gouging and hoarding and doing despicable things. But it's also bringing out the best in others. Like, for example, in Arkansas, there are some real estate investors who sent a memo, a letter out, and they said to their renters, people that had restaurants, for example, and tenants, "You don't need to pay your rent in the month of April. Instead, use that money to take care of your employees and to take care of your family. Be safe." And then there's the story of Allstate Automobile Insurance. $650 million they're going to give back to their customers because they realize people are driving less, there's less accidents. Or Marriott International, or the RV companies. Marriott International, along with the people that they're associated with, these credit card companies, $10 million that they are providing in free space, rooms for people that are medical personnel that are on the front lines of this pandemic. Or what I heard this morning while I was biking. In Ohio, a month ago, they already started planning and preparing. There was two nursing homes there, 225 residents total. And 44 of the workers, the cooks, the nurses, aides, etc., they all made a commitment. They are, in fact, staying in those closed quarters. They've got blow-up mattresses. They're eating there. They're sleeping there. They're available 24/7. They want to protect all of those residents from harm. It is finished. Now what? You see that little six-year-old that asked her grandma? "Grandma, you want to help me with my puzzle?" That's the million-dollar question. What is she getting at? Well, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. And there are people that are lost that need to be found. There are people that are perishing because they don't have saving faith in Jesus. So what are we going to do? Just take that puzzle apart and put it back in the box? Or share the good news with others? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise for our hymn of the day, "Thine is the Glory," number 145 in the Lutheran Book of Worship.
Jesus is the victory. Thou, O death, hast won. Angels in bright raiment rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave close where thy body lay. Thine is the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. O Jesus, midst thee, risen from the tomb, lovingly he greets thee, scatters fear and gloom. Let his church with gladness hymns of triumph sing, for the Lord now liveth, death hath lost its sting. Thine is the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. No more we doubt thee, glorious Prince of Life. Life is not without thee, aid us in our strife.
Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love.
Bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Thine is the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory now o'er death hast won.
Our service continues with the flood prayer on page 122 in the front of the Lutheran Book of Worship. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water you nourish and sustain us and all living things. By the waters of the flood you condemn the wicked and save those whom you had chosen, Noah and his family. You led Israel by the pillar of cloud and fire through the sea, out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, your beloved son has set us free from the bondage to sin and death and has opened the way to the joy and freedom of everlasting life. He made water a sign of the kingdom and of cleansing and rebirth. In obedience to his command, we make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit so that those who are baptized may be given new life. Wash away the sin of all who are cleansed by this holy water and bring them forth as inheritors of your glorious kingdom. To you be given praise and honor and worship through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the Church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises?
I do.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He
was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell.
On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. We continue with our prayers.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father in heaven, you raised your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You swallow up sin and death forever. Fill all your baptized people with the joy of Christ's victory and send us forth as witnesses to his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lover of mankind, you appear to us in word and sacrament. Prosper your gospel wherever it is preached throughout the world, that it may give and sustain faith in all who hear it, delivering them from the power of darkness and bringing them into the joyful kingdom of your risen Son. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of glory, your Son established your church to be a refuge of peace in a troubled world. Raise up servants of your church in every place who will devote their lives to the spread of the gospel and the service of your people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Rock of refuge, hear the prayers of all those who call upon you in times of distress, especially those who are lonely and homebound, the sick, the dying, and the mourning.
Gracious Lord, we pray this night for Kelly, for Dan, for Barb, for Denny, for Bernie, for Amy, for Melody, for Pam and her daughter Katie, for Viola, and all those we bring before you in the silence of our hearts.
During these days of the coronavirus, may all who suffer find their peace and strength, their hope and joy in the promise of Christ and his resurrection. May Jesus be their joy in sorrow, their health in sickness, and their life in death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Alleluia. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our sending hymn, Go Tell It in the Valley.
Go tell it in the valley, down through the lowlands everywhere. Go tell it in the valley that Jesus Christ still lives. Where soldiers kept their watching around the tomb that night, behold, by glorious morning there showed a heavenly light. Go tell it in the valley, down through the lowlands everywhere. Go tell it in the valley that Jesus Christ still lives. The soldiers feared and trembled when, lo, God shook the earth and sent an angel message that hailed our Lord's rebirth. Go tell it in the valley, down through the lowlands everywhere. Go tell it in the valley that Jesus Christ still lives. In that cold tomb so empty, our Easter hope was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Easter morn. Go tell it in the valley, down through the lowlands everywhere. Go tell it in the valley that Jesus Christ still lives.
Hallelujah! Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.